time now for us to welcome you once again to Speaking of Schools. It's a pleasure to have you with us each week as we bring you this program from South Carolina's Department of Education. Today we're going to be revisiting a conversation that was held between two leaders in our state, those two leaders, SCETV President Linda O'Brien and State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman. The conversation was held at the annual meeting of South Carolina Education Partners back in the middle of October, and Superintendent Spearman talks about a number of issues affecting education in the Palmetto State that we think you'll enjoy hearing and that you'll be informed by tuning in and staying with us for this week's podcast. It comes, of course, from South Carolina's Department of Education, and we invite you to stay with us as we're speaking of schools.
It has been my privilege in my role with South Carolina ETV and Public Radio to work very closely with the State Department of Education. And we are excited that Molly Spearman has set a strong vision for this state of leadership and collaboration. These are challenging times for education and for all of us, and Superintendent Spearman has a key role in charting the future of our schools. In a sense, she has been preparing for this job her entire life. She grew up on a dairy farm in a rural area of Saluda County. She began playing the piano and organ in her small church when she was 12 years old. And by the way, she and her family are still attending that church, and now she is the music director and organist. Molly Spearman majored in music education at Lander College. Her studies included work at George Washington University and the University of South Carolina. She has served as a classroom music teacher, an assistant principal, four-term member of the South Carolina House of Representatives, where she was named Legislator of the Year by two different groups. She served as Deputy Superintendent of Education, Executive Director of the South Carolina Association of School Administrators. And we all know she was sworn in as Superintendent of Education this past January. Superintendent Spearman, let's begin with your thoughts on the massive storm and flooding South Carolina has faced. And our hearts go out to all those who have suffered losses. How are the schools doing, especially in the rural areas?
Right. Well, thank you, Linda, and good afternoon, everyone. This is a beautiful sight to sit here, and I think every table I turn to, I see some very, very special friends and champions of public education. It's very heartwarming to look at. See the folks who've been so dedicated to public education in our state. I just keep seeing people. I want to just come out and hug all of you, especially at this time, after what we've been through over the last week. And I know many of you in your schools and your districts have had challenges. I'm happy to say that all of our districts are back in school today. We had a few that are still on two-hour delays. There have been some great challenges for families, and I think, you know, while the schools, there hasn't been terrific damage at any of our facilities, some leaky roofs and what you would expect, but there are children and families who have suffered so. And we know as educators that the school is the place, is a safe haven for so many children, and hard to teach a child if they're hurting and if they don't have the very substantial the needs at home, a safe place to go after school and clothes to wear. I was down in Georgetown on Saturday night, and Randy Dozier, the superintendent there, told me that, you know, he literally, some of his poorest families were the ones who were the hardest hit. They didn't have much to lose because they didn't have a lot before the storm, and now they have nothing. So our prayers and our support go out to them, and I think what we all need to do is to do as much as we can to support them. Dewan, Calhoun, all across the state, we had school administrators, principals, and teachers showing up to do those kinds of things. But it's going to be a challenge, and I think we have to be sensitive to this. I know on the minds of a lot of folks, well, what are you going to do about testing in the spring? And yes, we still have to worry about the learning, and we want children to be assessed. But I will tell you that as an agency, and my good friends who are the state board members who are here today, and I appreciate them all being here, I know that we're going to be sensitive to that as much as we can be as we move forward. So it's going to be an unusual year for us because we've had a lot of children and teachers and families who've been very hurt.
Superintendent Don Gordon talked about communities coming together. How can communities help schools?
Well, I think, I know there are different, many, many charities. I know Future Minds is working with schools and School Boards Association. I know our other professional associations, the United Way of the Midlands, Red Cross. However we can give generously to make sure that those areas are getting the support that they need. I think we've had a lot of school districts to offer help from one district to the other. And I think as policymakers, as we go to the state board, as we go to the General Assembly, to be as generous as we can, to understand and support that these kinds of things do affect learning in the community. So we'll certainly be there and ask for the kind of support that we need. But all of us just need to give as generously as we can.
And one of the areas is that's critical is the bus transportation. How are they doing?
Well, the buses are up and running. We have 42 bus shops across the state. None of them had significant damage. There again, leaky roofs and a few buses that were in water, but to my knowledge at this point, no significant damage there. Our real challenge, though, is to how do you, we were already challenged with long bus routes before the storm, and now due to the condition of the roads and bridges, we're having to run extraordinarily longer routes. We have districts who are asking for extra buses, and we're working with them to round up as many spares and people are sharing to help out that way. And again, not only are the buses a challenge, but finding the drivers. Extra drivers, so it is a challenge, but to my knowledge this morning, everyone's up and rolling. It may not be the most ideal setting for the routes, but we're at least running. And, you know, there's still communities like mine where there are a lot of dirt roads, and so we're working with those families to say we're coming as close as we can to get your child and pick them up. But that's not ideal for sure. So it's going to take us a while, but as we go to the General Assembly this year, since you mentioned transportation, that's not only a challenge now, but it was already a challenge, and with the rural equity suit, that will be a focus. And at least in our budget requests that we've already sent to the governor, and we will be reevaluating that because of the recent storm, but I do think we have to focus on transportation. I think the state needs to meet its commitment that transportation is one of the programs that we are supposed to deliver transportation for students to get to school. And in the past, we've only been funding even the minimal bus driver salary at about 50%. So the department is asking that we fund that at 100%. It's not a significant amount of money, but it would be a great help, particularly out in the rural areas. So we are going to have a real focus on transportation. We're asking the General Assembly to continue. They've been very generous to fund the bus replacement cycle, that they continue that, that our mechanics salaries and bus driver salaries, that we help districts so that we can bring those up to where they need to be.
Well, thank you for all you're doing, especially during these difficult times. Looking out over the long term and thinking about education and the goals that you have set, one of the terms we have heard is the 21st century student and how important this is to our parents, to our students, to our communities, and to our workforce. How do you define the 21st century and what goals would you like to see in South Carolina?
Well, y'all are probably tired of hearing me talk about this, but to me, the 21st century graduate just simply means a graduate who's ready to go for whatever their passion is. And our business community has helped us and reminded us that that's not just the content area. I was down with Tripp and folks in Florence last night at the Florence Foundation, where they honored Ben Ingram. And I had to say, who is Ben Ingram? Well, he's the young man who won the Jeopardy championship, won the most money ever. And guess what? He's a public school graduate of Wilson High School in Florence, his whole career through schooling in Florence. And Ben was so eloquent. And he talked about and thanked the community of Florence for how they had prepared him for the Jeopardy show and many other things. But he talked about foundation, that knowledge, even on Bloom's taxonomy, knowledge is the basic, it's the bottom. And we've got to have kids ready so far above that level. And to me, the 21st century graduate is someone who can take what they know and who can problem solve, and who can meet the needs of our economy and of our world today. And they can figure out things. They can be creative. They can collaborate. They can be very punctual. They can be to their job and add to it and think out of the box.
And one of the critical areas that you have talked about is STEM and now STEAM, which includes the arts. From your perspective, why is this so important for this state? Science, technology, mathematics, arts.
Science, technology, engineering, math, and I love adding the A, the arts, and I see Christine Fisher coming up in the back. And I'm on board because I'm a former music teacher, and I experienced that in Saluda County when I went there to teach. And literally, sometimes you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you don't know. And I had grown up not knowing what I didn't know, and I did not have the opportunity to have a well-infused arts program as I was growing up, and I saw it in other districts. And through the Arts and Basic Curriculum Project, we brought that to Saluda County. And so arts is a way. You can teach anything through the arts. And it has to be that infusion and across all curricular lines to be well prepared in science, technology, engineering, arts, mathematics. Those are the foundations that we can prepare our students. It can't be boring. And folks kind of look at me like, oh, you make it sound so simple. But y'all, it's all about having fun and learning. And when you engage all of those curricula together and intertwine that, learning is fun. And if we do that, we have students who love school. They become lifelong learners. They won't drop out, and they'll be prepared. So it's so important for us, and I'm proud to say that South Carolina is a leader in STEAM. We are leading the nation. People are looking at us, coming to South Carolina, calling the department to find out how we're adding that A. Now, we're also already a leader in STEM as well, but it's preparing the graduates for the jobs in the economy that South Carolina is so proud to have now.
Another area that we're hearing a lot about is project-based learning, and we're running out of time.
Oh, I'm talking.
But in just a few minutes, why is project-based learning important, and how is the whole notion of how we're teaching in the classroom changing?
Right. Well, project-based learning is, I'll use this example. We were talking about this at the agency just a few moments ago. Project-based learning is more than, say, let's build a dam, a model. That's a nice thing to do. And as a teacher, that's probably what I would have done.
Inappropriate.
Right. But now, project-based learning is about taking the problem that we are facing right now in South Carolina. The dams have burst. We've had tremendous flooding. There are policy issues. It would be a teacher saying, let's study this problem. Why did it happen? Look back at the history of it, and how are we going to solve it? Think about all the different curricula that you would be using to solve that problem. And do you think students would be interested in that right now?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's a simple way to me of describing what project-based learning is doing, and I think our role is to help teachers. We have many who, and it's bubbling up from the teachers, they're doing it, but we've got to get everybody doing it. And teaching in a way that the teacher is not just the instructor who would tell them all the things about the history of the dams in South Carolina and the rainfall, policy decisions that have been made. Instead of the teacher giving all that information, she facilitates the students helping solve all that those problems and learning. So that's a simple way to me to describe what project-based learning is, and that's the way we want our students to be working in classrooms today.
And another critical area for South Carolina is the apprenticeship program, which is really, again, South Carolina is leading the way in this area, and especially with the technical colleges. How are high school students being prepared if they want to go into these?
Right. Well, again, I love to brag on South Carolina, but we truly are a leader in this area as well in youth apprenticeships. The Secretary of Labor came down this summer to see what we were doing. The folks from Commerce just made a presentation yesterday at the Education Oversight Committee. Our technical college system won a $5 million grant to enhance our youth apprenticeship programs. I was very fortunate to go over to Aiken, and I saw the five students that were reported on yesterday at the Education Oversight Committee who, during high school, worked at MTU. It's a company that makes the diesel engines for Rolls-Royce over in Representative Taylor's area. And these students were remarkable. And they had gone to their career center to get prepared, lined up with work at MTU. They worked so many hours a week. This one young lady, 17 years old, had just graduated South Aiken High School, has a job with MTU, making about $32,000 a year. They're paying for her to go to Aiken Technical College, where she's going to get her first 2 years, wants to finish at USC Aiken. They said, look, you hang with us, you've got a lot of potential. We'll even pay for your MBA. And I asked her, have any of your friends joined you? She said, I tried to get some of my girlfriends to come, but they said they wanted to go to real college. They're not sure what they're going to major in yet. Now, who is the really bright person there? That young lady is just an example, and her parents are so proud. But that's what an apprenticeship program can do. We've got, my concern with it is that we've got to give more opportunities. We've got to work with businesses to credential those jobs and the certifications, and we've got to make it more available. I think we have 24, 25 counties where these programs are growing, and it's not just the big companies. It can happen in a mom and pop organization, because usually they don't want to take on too many students. 4 to 6 is as many as MTU wants to work with at a time. So we've got to find lots of places to do this, but it's very, very exciting.
And finally, one last question. We have just 1 minute left. Okay. Equity in education is so important for our state. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is my heart. I grew up in Saluda County and still live there, one of the plaintiff districts. We are dedicated. I am dedicated and committed that we as adults have to do the right thing to make sure that every child in South Carolina has the opportunity to be a ready, prepared graduate. We're doing it for many of our graduates, world-class schools, and they're succeeding, but we're not doing it for all, and generally those who are in our rural areas. We have got to work together and put our best minds and our hearts and be committed to give. It won't always be exactly the same, but we've got to do better. And I'm committed to do that. I had lunch yesterday with Senator Corson and the chairs of his House Education Committee. I've met with Representative Allison and serving with Representative Govan, co-chairing with him. We are all committed. There's a little tension going on right now between the plaintiffs and the recent order that came from the Supreme Court with the legislature. But I know that we are all committed to doing the right thing. There are a lot of challenges, and of course the flood has added to that financially, but we have got to do the right thing. And I'm certainly going to speak up and ask, I'm willing to ask and work with the legislature so that we can provide those opportunities.
Thank you, Superintendent Spearman. Thank you for your candid comments, your wise counsel, and good luck with everything you're doing for our students.
There's another interesting Carolina Classrooms coming up on Wednesday evening on South Carolina Educational Television. We're going to find out about that particular program and much, much more as we have the pleasure of talking with Amy Shoemaker, who is the executive producer of content with South Carolina ETV. Amy, I'm glad to have a chance to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for speaking with us.
Well, we want to talk about Carolina Classrooms that's coming up and learn more about that particular topic because I understand it is particularly interesting. But give us the idea around Carolina Classrooms. How did it come about? What's its major focal point other than Carolina Classrooms? Obviously, education in the Palmetto State. But you've had a number of different visitors and a variety of subjects that you've entertained over the past year.
Yes. You know, educational television, that's in our name, South Carolina Educational Television. So it makes sense for us to have an educational series. So during the school year, we do a monthly show for Carolina Classrooms. You know, we always start off kicking off the year with making college affordable. And that's one of the topics that we do revisit every year. But we explore new topics every month. We talk about education leadership. We had the state superintendent of education, Molly Spearman. She's a regular guest, of course. It makes sense. We talk about assessment, things that aren't in our everyday conversations. Just try to enlighten people and give them a little more deeper information on what is going on in our public school system. We celebrate teachers. We look at summer programs that support learning when we come out of that school year, so parents can be ready to engage in and continued learning in the summer to keep their kids excited about school. And, you know, we also look at education legislation and keep an eye on what's going on at the South Carolina General Assembly.
Well, we're always glad to see these programs as they come out on the last Wednesday of each month. And, of course, that Finding Money for College is always, and don't be confused, it's not the beginning of the school year that that comes out, but that's a January production that comes out each year on SCETV, a great program for students, juniors, and seniors, as well as their parents. We're talking with Amy Shoemaker of South Carolina Educational TV. Now, Amy, a special Carolina Classrooms, or I should say another special Carolina Classrooms coming up this Wednesday. Tell us about it.
Well, this Wednesday, we are going to be at Francis Marion University. This is one of the few times we were able to take Carolina Classrooms on the road this year. We will be there. We're going to talk about equity in education with all the talk about the Abbeville case and the ruling and how the legislature might be responding to it. We know that there's quite a few people in the state that need a little more information about what it is, you know, what does it mean, and how will the issues be addressed. So we're going to have educators, legislators, and community leaders there right at the Chapman Auditorium on campus to discuss these issues and others facing some of the rural education issues around rural education and educating children of poverty. We're very excited. We usually, you know, Dawn Samples is our host, and she does such a terrific job. This particular program, we have invited a moderator because it's a town hall format that we have invited Craig Melvin, who's an MSNBC anchor and NBC news correspondent. And for many of us who have watched him on WIS News, he's very passionate about issues in South Carolina and a native South Carolinian. So he is going to moderate this particular show for us. And Dawn is going to be there helping him pull answers and insight from the audience.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to that program coming up on Wednesday, October 28th, as all the Carolina Classrooms programs occur during the last Wednesday in each month. Remember, the time for this informative town hall telecast is 6 o'clock. And thanks to Amy Shoemaker, the executive producer for content with South Carolina ETV, for filling us in on what's coming up on this very important Carolina Classrooms Wednesday evening at 6, embracing the topic of school equity. Amy, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for being with us on Speaking of School.
Thanks for having us.
concludes today's Speaking of Schools podcast, of course, coming to you from South Carolina's Department of Education. I'm Doug Keel, giving sincere thanks to Amy Shoemaker of South Carolina Educational Television, as well as her boss, and that's Linda O'Brien, who had a conversation with State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman earlier in this week's program, talking about education issues in the Palmetto State, that conversation taking place at the annual meeting of the South Carolina Education Partners in Columbia. We'll have another Speaking of Schools for you next week. It is a weekly feature here at this website, and we hope that you can join us. Thank you for the pleasure of your company, and please join us again next week when we'll be Speaking of Schools.